Academy of Freedom, where he basically uses it in the American Indian scholarship. And so that's where members of Kendall goes to do it. I feel like the passage this morning, I was reminded of the New Tea Campaign. Everybody know what that is? New Tea Campaign? I think we all heard of that. It makes me really angry. Angry that so many people, often women, have been subjected to such appalling treatment for so long. And it's quite a contrast, isn't it, with the way that Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman. Patiently, as an interrupted equal, thoughtfully, sternly, challengingly. What's the difference to this appalling story as we read about in the ministry campaign? Before we look at our passage in detail today, let's just remind ourselves of the context that we've heard in the Gospel of John so far. A few things. Through the story of Nathaniel, we heard about how God knows each of us and invites us to come and see Jesus. We also read about how God promises greater things even than knowing Him. Everyday miracles like the water into wine at Cana. God wants nothing to get in the way of us forming a relationship with Him. Look at Jesus' anger in the temple, overturning the tables of the money changers. We also learned earlier in the Gospel that we must start over, be born again, to see the kingdom of God. Something that happens through the action of God's Spirit. And that's not possible because God loves us despite everything. And has given us His Son that shows whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. We've also heard earlier in this Gospel about how God gives His Spirit to us without limit. What an extraordinary passage of good news that is. It's a wonderful set of things to know. Let's look at today's passage closely. If you were here for last week's sermon, you would have heard about Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. He reached out to her, overcoming social, cultural, national obstacles to share the good news of God's love. This week you read about the disciples coming back in their hunt for food to find Jesus and the Samaritan woman deep in conversation. And immediately the disciples see all the barriers and problems. Rabbis do not want to talk to women on the street. The Jews do not talk to the Samaritan. It turns out that the women have quite a reputation in their time. What about the women tell us before we know the bunch of disciples showing up? It's intimidating to ask. These people who are obviously hungry, what do they want? Can you see their attitude? I don't know if they look and act it. But she is not about to be bit off. She has understood what Jesus meant when He offered her living water. She has glimpsed something extraordinary in her conversation with Jesus. And she left off to tell her friends. You can't be the Messiah, can you? She is seriously intrigued. And what she said made other people want to come and see Jesus too. Back to the disciples. They go off to find food. And after they got over the serious incident of Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, their thoughts turned back to food again. And the other thing, Jesus was thinking of the bigger picture. How could you help them do much more than fill their rumbling stomach? The disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one's brought me something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to complete His will. Jesus said he was brought to completion at Easter time, when He hung on the cross for us and rose again to say that He had defeated God. Now, Jesus isn't saying here that we should neglect our basic needs, not at all. But He is reminding us that we have a job to do. The Samaritan women knew what they had to do, so we should have to be Jesus. And Jesus challenged the disciples to do the same thing. Let's go back to our reading again. Do not stay 4 months more when you come to harvest, but actually, you look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reapers are ready receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sow and reap them and rejoice together. but here the form holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Jesus says, the fields are ripe for harvesting. When he talks about harvesting, he means sharing the good news and bringing people to a saving knowledge of God's love. What is he talking about? Well, clearly all the people around us in spiritual faith, wherever we live and work. Encouraging and giving to reminds us that we're not starting from scratch. I thank you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you've entered into their labor. God has left each person around us from the day we were born. Other Christians have already said things and done things and prayed for things that have touched the people around us. And now it's our turn. Let's take our place in God's plan with courage and compassion. With gifts of determination, with love, and with prayer. Let's come back to the Samaritan woman. Let's see what happened as a result of her testimony. The other Samaritans in that time wanted more. They came to see Jesus and asked him to stay with them, which he did for 2 days. Indeed, many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, and many more believed because of his words. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. How wonderful! I wonder if you can think of a time in your own life where the wonder of God's love and forgiveness struck you, or when a friend, a colleague, or family member first glimpsed the love of God, or began to experience it for themselves. Does it make the hairs in the back of your neck stand up? I hope you took the chance to fill in the questionnaire by having some new types of truth a bit more, or take part in some of the discussion groups. There are all sorts of ways we can get involved. And we will bear fruit both by our prayers and our actions. Talking to the people we're in contact with, friends and neighbors and family, and praying earnestly and devotedly for more people to hear the word of God and come to faith. A friend of mine who's a history in Cambridge told me something interesting. Because he was advised when he was training as a minister, you get as many opportunities to share your faith as you pray for. My friend said, when he was told that, he was very skeptical. And he was surely that can't be true. But he told me that, to his surprise, when he started to pray for opportunities, they seemed to come at an almost alarming rate. And maybe we'd be taking a surprise for that too. God will honor our prayers and our preparedness to share his love with those around us. I'd like to give you 2 examples from my experience recently. At the Christian Day service, I'm a resistant Christian, but I haven't been Christian Day before. Maybe I'll get a little tired away, maybe they won't. And explaining what we mean. And rather than an orange, I've used a truth proper. And I've explained to people that the orange is a symbol of the world, how God made the world. I'm a Christian, so I'm in some of the paleontologists, the philosophical geologists, the music people. And I said, I wonder if people here think that actually the world is made by astrophysics and evolutionary biology and folk tectonics. And those are all true. However, if you don't understand faith, you have missed the point. Science takes the world apart to explain how it works. Faith puts it together to explain what it means. How we should live. And the point I had with somebody in the congregation that day, who was always called science, just proved faith. And this person thought, well, actually, I wonder if I've been dismissing faith for reasons that don't really stack up. I'm going to take a look myself. And that's the same way I'm going to do it, because I'm going to take a look myself. Fantastic! Somebody with an open mind come into Jesus, and when they see Jesus, who knows? Another example recently, I was in Jefferson, and some friends and I were, only when we had our group tour of my school, a few weeks ago, some friends and I were out walking by the river, and one of my friends in work asked me what I'd be doing over the weekend, and I told him that I'd been to a course, so I'd like to do that together, so he talked like this. And he said, I wish I could have come. this is a photo of the and this photo is like, they also go in the talk about how to give information to us, which I think is really interesting, because we're not for us. That's a good one. So that's a good one. And it's a good one. So this is a copy of the talk from the system we saw this. And they were really touched by it. And they said, this is really no complaint. And again, that wasn't a story of the talk that was expected. When I come to find speech from Christ, I often have my house in my mouth. I often went out to the first person when I did. But I wanted to share those three examples of where somehow or other I didn't manage to pick up powers, and God honored that in ways that were amazing to me and most encouraging. And I hope you can encourage each other to speak rather than not speak. To have the courage to describe how to love and God to other people. That's it. Lord God, thank you for your word. Show us what you are like, how you transform our lives when we come to you, how you fill us with love. Help us to be bold in reaching out with your love to those around us. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.